my podcast, Esteemed Women. It used to be called Silence, then it became Innovation, and now finally women are more empowered than ever to use their voices to express what it's really like to strive and thrive in what often tends to be a very male-dominated world. I'm sure it hasn't been easy for them, but these women have really achieved and accomplished. They truly are esteemed women who have chosen careers in science, technology, and innovation. They're typically go-getters, alpha females, hardworking, and maybe even just a little bit perfectionistic. But on the whole, they've applied their talents and skills to really make a difference. That was certainly my own intention when working as a mechanical engineer. In these episodes, you'll get a chance to hear about some fascinating innovations, but you'll also likely to be inspired and uplifted by the personal stories and experiences of my amazing guests. So let's hear it from my STEM sister, an incredibly esteemed woman, Sita Mojaria, a mechanical engineer.
Well, my name is Sita Mojaria. I am a current first year undergraduate at the University of Warwick studying mechanical engineering. I came in on the automotive, so I've switched to mechanical. It gives me great flexibility for later down on the line.
Well, congratulations on choosing MechEng. How's it all going?
So far, so good. I'm enjoying it. I think I found out that engineering is actually for me, because when you go into something like a degree, you don't kind of assume it's to be the right one, just that. But yeah, no, I'm 100% that it's the right degree for me.
Why did you choose engineering?
Good question. I think I've always liked to take part things apart, and I like to fidget quite a lot, which is a bad habit, I know, but it's something that I always ask those questions. Why does it work like this? Why does it work like that? And kind of, I enjoyed physics at school quite a lot, and that's kind of what I didn't like maths as much, but obviously you need maths for engineering, but it was something that I guess I kind of got used to and just kind of learned to enjoy as well, so it came sort of together in a sense.
I was the other way around to you. I found physics and maths difficult, but maths just ended up being more logical. Physics was like completely on another level of difficulty. Do you need maths and physics to do engineering?
I'd say maths, yes. I'd say any science. Mainly physics and chemistry are the ones that I think they want to ask for. But I felt physics, especially in my first year now, has helped me a lot. It's just the application side that you don't get in any other science of the maths. And yeah.
Because I think a lot of people get put off with engineering because they think you've got to be a real genius at physics and maths. Is that not the case for you?
No, I was not naturally clever. I wouldn't say I'm naturally clever. I had to do, sometimes my friends who are better at maths than me or better at physics, they can get it like that. I maybe take a week if I can to fully understand the full concept, and for me that's the enjoyment. Like, I don't want to do something that I find easy. I like a challenge. Kind of that stemmed from a lot of my sports as well. I think doing stuff that have a challenge is something that I enjoy.
So are there many people like you on your degree?
I would say so. There are some people who have got different skills in different areas. I think you've got, obviously, the clever lot, so you call them, that are just naturally talented. Some have to, and then you've got people like me who have to work a little bit harder to understand the concept because it doesn't come to them straight away, but then you've got, and that will come in time, I guess.
And what about, like, I don't know, your ethnicity, your gender, all of those kinds of labels? Like, are there people like you on your course?
And from the gender side, yes, there was more than I thought there would be. I can't give you a percentage because I don't know that, but there are more women in engineering than I thought there would be coming to university. But to be fair, I didn't really see that as a kind of obstacle or a hurdle to come, because I came from an all-girls school. I kind of was just, yeah, you know, just go for it. There's no differences. You didn't see the differences. But I think in terms of race, I think there are quite well mixed here. And yeah, I think it's a great university, to be quite honest, in terms of the balance act as well.
So you're at Warwick. What makes it a great university?
I think, oh, that's a very good question, actually. I'd say the application to practical. You know, we learn a lot of theory, and for me, theory is good. But for someone like myself, who learns hands-on best, you know, so that kinesthetic learner, I just felt like it gives the best balance of the both. Obviously, you need a theory to do anything, right? But to apply that to real life problems and to real life solutions that you can be brought to life physically is something that I think Warwick offered a good balance of. And I just enjoy it. We have a build space where we have 3D printers and everything, and you can make all your own designs, which I really love because I love CAD. A bit of a nerd there, but that is kind of my thing. I like designing stuff, and then to see what you designed on CAD to then bring in it to real life, that's something that is really cool. And then you can see if your design actually works or not.
Yeah, I mean, you sound like a true engineer, because engineers come up with an idea, they design it, they build it, they prototype it and test it. And then sometimes they have to kind of go back to the drawing board or back to CAD and tweak it. Describe to me what kinesthetic learning is, because some young people kind of think that going to school is the only way to learn.
Yeah, it's basically the art of practicing by doing. That's the way I have interpreted it. Maybe it might be wrong, but that's the way I've done it. And I think by doing, you learn more. So I learn more when I put stuff into applications of the real world. So like an engine, we've been learning about thermodynamics, put that in the case of an engine. Oh, like that makes more sense. It just clicks differently for me. So it doesn't have to just be hands-on. It's just applying it to a scenario that makes you understand it that little bit much better.
And because I always feel that engineers are very practical people. Would you say that's the case with engineering? I mean, now you've got a little bit of experience of doing the engineering. Like, what makes a good engineer for you, in your opinion?
I think they've got to be committed. I think that's the one word I'd say. They're committed to what they're doing. You know, there's no point in doing something. Oh, it might work, it might not work. If you've done the calculations, you should be confident that it's going to work. And you need to show that, of course, if you're a leader, right, you need to show that across your team, because otherwise they're not going to have any faith in you. Kind of that's what I've learned as well. Also, what makes a good engineer is just enjoying it. I think happiness and enjoying what you're doing is a key part to having success in that sense. And if you're not enjoying it, then maybe it's not right for you. But you've got to go through maybe the sad days. You know, engineering isn't happiness every day, for sure. That's not the case. It's there are days when you think, oh, I just can't do this anymore. But, you know, it's hopefully you have less of those days and more of the happy days to be able to continue the degree and to get into the workplace.
So what are your plans for studying and then working? And
yeah, it's a good question. It's one that's popped up many times the past couple of weeks. So for me, I think I'd love to get a master's in engineering here at the university and do that with an intercalated year, so an industrial placement year, and hopefully do that in the world of the automotive and Formula One teams. And then probably go on to a graduate role. In terms of specific jobs, I'm probably looking at like sort of design, aerodynamics and composite. Sort of those are kind of what I've at the moment figured out what I enjoy. I don't really know too much, but you know, those are the kind of paths I've looked at job descriptions for and think I could see myself in that role.
You seem amazingly focused for someone who's 1 year into their degree. Take me right back to the beginning. Like, what inspired you to think that engineering could be a career path for you? Some people have never even heard of engineering.
That was me in year nine. the fact I didn't find engineering till late. I think there was a school competition called Formula One in Schools. And I entered that and we started that up. In year eight, probably, and I started out there as a research, as a resource manager, so looking for sponsorship. So that really enlightened me to the different engineering companies that we could target. And then you kind of look as well at the same time, okay, could I actually work here? And okay, maybe not at that stage, but you're looking back, I was probably in my mind, I was thinking, right, that's something that I want to do. And then we were obviously designing this mini car, and then I went on to kind of become the design engineer, manufacturing engineer as the years went on. And again, that's where my passion for CAD came about. And for me, CAD has changed the way I look at things. And has helped me put my learnings to like physical products. Again, that kinesthetic learning. So then once you've got there, I think, okay, this is engineering. Oh yeah, it is. And then I think, okay, well, maybe I could do engineering. I just need to get a little bit better at maths, put my head down. And I decided I did. And then, I became team manager. And that was really interesting because you learn more about all the other stuff, so the manufacturing. So while I was focused on designing, I became more involved in the manufacturing. And then also going back to my previous role of sponsorship manager, you sort of learn in those as well. And then you go to these competitions and you see people and machines in these venues that are just so fascinating to use. And I could be using that every day. And, that's something that it's the machines, I guess, as well, that just sold it as well a bit.
Well, it's kind of, it all started with an initiative at your school then.
Yeah, I'd say there was one teacher who started it off and then he left. And then I was like, education's all right, but what if we're applying this knowledge? And then we started it back off when I was in year 11, and you have that little bit of an extended sort of summer after exams, and then kind of got a team together and we were winning regional finals and going to nationals at Airbus, which is pretty cool.
And this is like, I just need to remind people that this is an all-girls school that you went to. So it was all women kind of on the team, thinking along engineering lines and all the different roles. It just sounds like a really great launch pad. Would you want anything to be different, or are there things that you wish you had known back then? Anything you'd change?
Yeah, there'll probably be a few things. I think one of them is just making it accessible to anybody. I think I was probably at my fault there when I started it back in year 11 again, that we had only targeted year 12, or the current year 11s going into year 12. So we limited that for the younger years. But when I was in year 13, I was made aware of this issue, and not an issue, but this problem. And we decided to help a younger team. Instead of competing ourselves, we decided to help a younger team, so they would be in year 8 or year 9, and help them compete in the competition, and as well as teaching them the sort of skills that we learned, and then adding their own skills to it as well. So I thought that was the nice signing off of A-levels.
And why do you think girls don't choose motorsports?
I think they don't have someone that can be seen who looks like them. I think that's one of the biggest things, and the biggest things I've had as well. I think I didn't see anyone who looked like me, or not just from the gender, but also from the race side as well. But now we're starting to see, I watch Formula One quite a lot, so we see a lot more women on the pit walls, on track side, in the paddock. And just being involved in a community as well. I think I've had the exposure to being involved, not just the community here at Warwick, but also many communities from other schools as well. And I think that's been, and these events that you go to, you meet new people. And then you think, oh, look, they look like me. We can do this together and all that sort of stuff. So I think that's one of the biggest reasons why many people don't feel motorsports for them.
And how is it with other sort of women on the course, because sometimes it seems like it's a bit competitive?
That's what I thought as well, but to be fair, there is competition. I wouldn't say there's none, but I'd say it's a very opening environment. I think there are many people, I have a lot of friends who are girls, and we all encourage each other we work with each other to understand the knowledge, basically. So I don't think I've experienced in university competitiveness. I think I've experienced competitiveness in maybe primary school or secondary school. And I think I've turned the blind eye to it in a sense, because I just feel like that my sport, and I just ignore stuff, and I think I'm just going to be on my own path doing this. And I think I have a twin sister who also does mechanical engineering. And kind of we have that competitive between us both anyway. So anyone else, it doesn't really matter, in a sense. No offense to them, but we both compete quite, we're very competitive, let's put it that way.
Oh, I have twin sisters. I'm not a twin, but my two sisters are twins. And it's been really interesting watching them grow up. I was 5 when they were born, and they are like, it's almost like they went out of their way to try and be different from each other. Do you have that? I mean, you're both doing MechEng, so how does that work?
No, we're not very, well, we're very different, but yet very similar. I think we both love to fidget with things. We both have a mindset of why does this happen? Why does that happen? So I don't think we're very different. We haven't tried to be different, or we haven't tried to be similar at the same time. But
are you identical?
Yeah, we're both identical. She studies at University of Warwick as well, so it's even more competitive as well. So, yeah.
There must be something in your family that pushed you towards engineering. Like, do you have anyone in your family that are engineers?
No, none of my family are engineers. No, none of them went to the university either. So this is kind of a new stepping stone for us, I guess. Yeah, no one really pushed us into engineering. Yeah.
Was there any pressure to do certain subjects?
Not at all. My dad was like, do what you want, but just to make sure you enjoy it, because he says, wow, if I don't enjoy it, then there's no point doing something. And I've kind of followed that sort of mantra along as well. You know, if I don't enjoy something, I'm not going to stick in it for very long.
Gosh, that's very new age, because if your Asian family is anything like my Asian family, like my dad was like, you are doing this. Doesn't sound like you had that.
No, I think my dad tried to stray away from that, because obviously it's very typical. It's very stereotypical of that to be perceived. But I think from our side, because we're different, we played sport, and sport was most of my life as a child. Like, education came in maybe year 8, year 9, when I started to take things seriously. But I think sport played a big part, and it allowed us to sort of not disassociate ourselves from the traditional line, but kind of be different and make our own way and make the mistakes and learn from them. Kind of that's the way we were brought up.
So is there any plan for you and your sister to somehow get together, start an engineering company, or what is the longer term goal?
I don't know. Just to be quite honest, I don't have the answer for you there, but maybe start a business. I haven't really thought about that. That's quite a daunting factor, but I don't know if we'd work well together. I mean, we work well, good enough, but I think as a business, day in, day out, nah, I think that might be a bit too much.
That sounds like a sensible thing.
Thank you.
So you've done a year in your degree. You've got a couple more to go. Then you want to do a master's, but you want to also be in industry doing some sort of sandwich. What's your focus right now? Like, are you trying to really secure those best fitting internships? Like, you know, what's your plan? You must have some kind of plan.
Yeah,
someone that doesn't have a plan.
I have a plan, but it's not I hope to take my industrial placement between 3rd year and 4th year. That's kind of what I'm going for, but I'm like, this year I'm be looking at what sort of job descriptions, key skills they're requiring, to make sure that I've got experience to build that up as I go on before I apply. That's kind of the only plan I have at the moment. I mean, in terms of my actual industrial placement, I'd love to work at Aston Martin. You know, I grew up near the heritage site in Newport Bagnall, and kind of walking past those and driving past those, they're just fascinating cars. And now they have the Formula One team, which is amazing. And yeah, just going to events with them as well, it's a bit breathtaking of what they can actually achieve and how it's all done by hand. And yeah, it's just an amazing place to be.
Oh gosh, if I was interviewing you for Aston Martin, I'd be like, yep, give her the job.
If only if it was that easy.
Yeah, but you know, to really you know, to go back to your roots, and I don't know, just the use of the word breathtaking when it comes to engineering, like, you can tell that you're really passionate about it.
Thank you.
Awesome. Why automotive? Because you said that at some point you were sort of working with Airbus. Why not aeronautical or aviation?
That's a good question. I wouldn't say I've always liked cars. I'm not that typical person. I grew up thinking, oh wow, those cars look cool. The colors are striking. That was kind of what I looked at. And I think going to, well, I haven't gone to Airbus as part of Formula One at schools. I saw that these planes that you see, that you don't get to see the finished article in one factory. You have to go to different places. And I want to see the finished product. Like, you've worked this hard, I want to see it all in one. Yes, you can see them flying, but for me, the cars in the factory, like, that's kind of where I've decided to go with automotive. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
So motorsport and sort of F1 and, you know, even automotive as an industry seems to be quite cliquey. Like, there seems to be like a very fixed community. Everyone knows each other. It's not very big, particularly like the women in automotive, because there's just so few. So everyone knows everyone. How is it sort of breaking into that world? What would be your top tips for trying to sort of get into that clique?
I wouldn't say I'm in it, but I'm nearly getting involved in projects, going to events, you know, getting involved in Formula Student. That's what I've currently in. It's expanded a lot of network opportunities for myself. Getting involved in events such as women in engineering events, women events as well. So I've had the privilege of this year just going to Aston Martin, McLaren and Mercedes to really expand that network. And I think also for me, I recently, well, a year or 2 years ago now, I've undertook Silverstone marshalling. So that's allowed me to get, so that's where I track marshal at Silverstone. And that's where I've been able to really network with people. I think that's a big key point that I've done.
That sounds amazing.
You just volunteer for it. So I haven't done many races this year, but it's something that was on the to-do list, shall we say. And I live near Silverstone, well, maybe an hour max back to Silverstone. So and it's like Silverstone, like, come on, you know. And so, you know, and attending all these events and just, you know, volunteering and taking your time, because you've got to give the time up to be able to get something back in the future, right? So I do quite a lot of volunteering anyway. So this was just a thing that I thought, okay, that how am I going to get into the motorsport industry or connect with people that are, have connections elsewhere? And yeah, that was kind of one of the ways that I found that as well.
You're reminding me of a roller coaster engineer in my book who is so passionate about theme parks and roller coasters and all of that. And she said the best way to get into your dream job is to do any role that is associated with your dream job. So she worked in the restaurant at Chessington from the age of 16, and she, you know, even though she was serving like burgers and fries every day, she said she just got to see how the whole wider context works. And it's reminding me, you know, maybe that's what Silverstone was like for you. You must have seen so much of like how the whole sort of environment functions.
Yeah, it's really cool, especially because you see the behind the scenes stuff that you don't see in the TV. And obviously you've got the idea of safety in your mind as well for the driver, but then you just see these cars whizzing past, and it's just, the sound is just incredible. Like, I've never been to a Formula One race, and that's not something I've done, and I would hope to go in the future. But yeah, just being a marshal, like, you appreciate every little role that everybody has on a race weekend or just a Grand Prix or an event. Yeah.
Would you say that you're ambitious?
Yes. Yeah, I like to dream big, or maybe say think big. I think if I limit myself, I don't really have the enjoyment. If I challenge, like I said, if dreaming big is challenging, and for me, that's why I chose engineering, it's challenging. And I love the idea of a good challenge.
So if you could share your big dream of how you want your career to go, what would it look like?
Yeah, I'd be finishing a master's here with an industrial placement, and then doing a grad role for 2 years, or at a Formula One team or automotive company, or potentially a 5-year grad scheme at INEOS, depends what I want to do, and then get my chartership. That was kind of my goal. Yeah, that's kind of where I plan to. I haven't planned past that at the moment. So,
and how easy is it to make that dream a reality? Because, you know, like do you reckon you're in with a chance of getting those kind of roles post graduation? And, you know,
I think so. I believe I am. I mean, if I don't believe, I wouldn't be dreaming it. I'd say that. But
based on grades?
Yeah, so you have to do like certain grades, and then your other stuff have to like sort of self show your extracurricular skills as well. So I believe I have. I believe I will get the grades to do it. I think I will have to like do more, like not more extracurricular, but show myself a bit more in these extracurricular projects that I'm doing.
What kind of projects would shine through?
I think Formula Student is the biggest one if you want to enter motorsport, for sure. And I'm probably in that right now. I am in that right now. I'm ready for competition this week. And I think I like I said, I like to catch stuff in my own play time. Like, that for me is calming. It's a sign of procrastination as well, I think, sometimes. But no, just designing things and being able to make them is something that I can show as well.
Well, you know, I wish you all the best for Formula Student. I've never actually heard of that, so I need to do a bit of research. But you're really inspiring, because there's a lot of women that want to get into motorsport. I think some of them just don't know where to start. And it's really inspiring to see you in it, doing it, you know, just like step by step, clocking up all the things you need for your CV to really be employable. And at the heart of it all, you seem so passionate, genuinely interested in what you're doing. And we definitely need more engineers like that, you know, engineers that at their core just absolutely love the sound, you know, the sights, the sounds, all the sensations of automotive. But I think for you, you have a real soft spot for F1, right? Well, I wish you all the best. Keep checking in. Want to see your progress. Because as cringe as it may sound, like, you are going to be extremely unique if you pull through, you know, pull through, more like shine through. I get the impression that you will be shining your way through Formula One, and I can't wait to see how your career unfolds, because I think you'll be really inspiring to a lot of other girls. So thank you for sharing your story with us.
No, thank you for the opportunity to speak to yourself. It's a real honour. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and please do subscribe to this podcast, and maybe even rate and review it if you can. The more ratings and reviews, then the more interest from those trusty algorithms, which could help to increase the reach of this show. And you can watch the video recording of this conversation on YouTube for my new series called Esteemed Women. It's all about self-discovery and self-evolution on innovation. So as always, be kind and loving to yourselves, and I wish you all a great week.